I've discovered this morning, and you might not have realized this, but ears are wonderful things. Because you can hang all sorts of things off them. So I've got my glasses, I've got my hearing aids, and I've got this thing to actually say you can hear me. Isn't God wonderful in designing ears just so that we can hang all these things off it? I just think that's brilliant, isn't it? Right. Theme about today is telling stories. And we've all got stories to tell. Sometimes they're stories of joy. Sometimes they're tales of woe. Sometimes they're stories about the weather. I got here, but I got absolutely soaked. I only walked from... We've got all those stories as well. There might be stories of experiences you've had. You'll never guess what I did the other day. Stories of holidays. Accidents. Oh, you should have seen what happened to me. Or there might be outings. Or something new we bought. Do you want to see what I've bought? And then we've got the stories of things we bought, but we bought them really cheaply. So we're so excited. I bought this and it only cost me. Our life is full of stories. So I thought I'd tell you a couple of stories. This first story is about a class and they're learning about whales. That's why there's a picture of whales. And the teacher explained to the class that whales are one of the biggest mammals in the sea. But even though they're huge and amazing animals, they have really small throats. And that way, they couldn't swallow anything big. So one of the children says, "Yes, but sir, Jonah was swallowed by a whale." The teacher's getting a bit annoyed now. He's saying, "Yes, no, I have explained they are huge animals, but they've got small throats. That is not possible." So the little girl's not deterred by this at all, and he says, "Well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah about that, whether he really was swallowed by a whale." And the teacher says, "Yes, but what if he goes to hell?" So the child responds very quickly and says, "Well, you can ask him then, can't you?" As children, and they're in a Catholic elementary school, and they're all queuing up for lunch. And as they come along the servery, the first thing that they come across is a bowl of apples. And one of the nuns was a bit unsure that the children are taking too many. So she's put a little note by the apples. And it says, "Only take one apple because God is watching." So as the children went through, they managed to get their dinners. And right at the end of the servery is a huge plate of chocolate chip cookies. And one of the children has put a little note on there. "Take as many as you like, because God's watching the apples." We've all got stories to tell. But the thing is, we've got to learn with some of the stories and the God stories we've got that God prompts us with those. And he prompts us to tell stories and ask about stories. The thing we've got to do, and it doesn't matter how old or young we are, is learn to recognize those prompts when they come. But God actually knows what we're like. He knows that we take some time to learn things. So he keeps prompting us and directing us. We need to ask God, we need to ask Holy Spirit to give us different opportunities, to see the opportunities that we have. Why? Well, in Isaiah it says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And when you get to my age, that's the sort of scripture you really need. Let's read that. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, and they will soar on the wings of eagles. They will soar on the wings of eagles. Why? Because God wants us to fly. He wants us to experience life. He wants us to actually experience the fullness of what is saying and doing in our lives. And we will be strengthened and encouraged because we can then strengthen and encourage. What does it require? It requires steps of faith. And the interesting thing about faith, it's the same as walking. It's on a journey. We have to go somewhere. And you have to go somewhere, I have to take a step. And then another step. And actually, God never says, I want you to take 500 steps. He says, take a step. And then we take another step. And then we take another step. It's faith building. It's where we're going. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's where we're going to get the strength from. That's what is going to give us the difference to tell our story, to give our testimony, to give the stories of what God is doing. We need to recognize those opportunities. I was coming out of my house a few weeks ago, and there's a guy that lives in the flat opposite, and he was coming out. So I said, hi, how you doing? And that was going to actually probably be the extent of the conversation. But then he started chatting and saying, oh yeah, I'm doing fine, thank you. And actually I noticed that he's looking quite different. And so I had this prompting from God, and I was thinking, actually you need to listen and to have a chat with him. So I stopped and said, I haven't seen you for a while. How are you doing? What's been happening to you? He says, actually, I've been in hospital. So I said, oh, right. And he said, well, actually, I had a stroke. And the stroke was so severe, it actually caused a problem with my memory. And actually, I couldn't remember anybody. And his daughter had come and visited him, and he didn't recognize who she was, which she found pretty terrifying, and he was very disturbed by the fact he couldn't work out who all these people were. And obviously he'd come through that, and as we were going on, God says to him, pray for him. So I says to Paul, is it okay if I pray for you? Because you sound as if you've been through all sorts of stuff. And God loves you. And he says, yeah, yeah, I'd love you to pray for me. So I stood there and we prayed for him. It was simple. But the trick was that I had to listen. I had to listen to what God was saying to me, and I had to do something about it. It was that opportunity. Because on that day, God wanted to bless that man. And I could have just said, hi Paul, how you doing? Thinking, I haven't seen you for ages. But actually, God turned it into an opportunity. We all have stories. We all have God's stories. But we need to think about what the difference Holy Spirit makes. What is it to be empowered by the Holy Spirit? This is the story of the Holy Spirit coming. Let's think about this. Let's think about the scene. We're talking about this Sunday as being preparation for next Sunday, as Bob has said, in the traditional calendar. What happened next Sunday, and what we celebrate, is that Jesus went to the cross. And he went to the cross to change everything. There isn't anything you can do to actually better that. There isn't anything you can do that he says, I need you to do these things in extra because it wasn't quite enough. Jesus hung on that cross for each one of us. And that's something, as Bob's saying, let's prepare ourselves as we're thinking and celebrate that next Sunday. He did that for each one of us. And then he's saying to his disciples, I'm not going to be around forever, but you will receive Holy Spirit, and he's going to come on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's the bit that includes us, to the ends of the earth. What difference did Holy Spirit make? And when we're thinking about Holy Spirit, I've put him as Holy Spirit as a name, like Jim Smith, because this is a part of God that is his person. It's Holy Spirit is a person. It's a part of God. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you this person, Holy Spirit, and he is going to be there with you for all time. And he is going to change things. Let's think about these disciples. What difference was this going to make to them? Think about their situation. They've actually gone through unbelievably traumatic thing. They've seen Jesus die on the cross. Even though he told them, they didn't mean, I don't get it all. And they're hiding in a room. And then Jesus appeared to them and told them, you will have courage, you will have strength, you will be different, because I'm sending your, and another word is comforter, I'm sending my Holy Spirit, I am sending Holy Spirit to cope with this change. We struggle with change. I remember when I was going through a situation where my last job was the chance of, well, we were going to close, and there was an opportunity to take redundancy. And we had training how to cope with change. And we as humans find that difficult. Sometimes some changes, they cause us to actually get quite low until we get our head round it, and then we can start going again. And what Jesus is saying to these guys is, there's going to be a huge change. You've gone through this situation, you've seen everything you've stood for, me being hung on the cross, and now there is going to be change. And I'm going to give you strength, and the strength is going to come in the form of Holy Spirit. He is your comforter. He will be with you. And it says in this, you will be my witnesses. How are you going to be my witnesses? Because I have given you Holy Spirit. That's the same for us. When we are witnesses, when we have that heart of God, we witness because we have Holy Spirit. That was the difference it was making to these men who were hiding. They're hiding away. This is what happened to them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in the tongues as their spirit enabled them. suddenly something amazing happened to these guys. Peter had a story, and the story was when we were on Alpha Day, and we're praying for Holy Spirit. And Peter described it to me. He says, I was getting hot. He said, I was getting so hot, I took my jacket off and I put it on the side. And he's thinking to himself, I shouldn't stand next to this radiator because I'm really getting really hot. He then turned and realized there wasn't a radiator there. Holy Spirit was doing something in him. That's incredible. These disciples suddenly started speaking in other tongues that they had no training in. And other people started to recognize it. We had it the other week, didn't we? Somebody was giving a tongue. Nobody could understand it. And we're waiting for understanding. And Trevor actually stands up and he says, I understand it, not because of interpretation from God. He understood the words because they were in Swahili. He actually understood the words, exactly the same as in the disciples. These people heard the language that they understood. And they're going, what on the earth is happening? The pubs aren't open. How are they actually doing this? They're not. It's incredible. Then the disciple Peter said to the crowd after he preached to them, and he preached because he got that Holy Spirit inside him. He was suddenly empowered to do something beyond his imagination. And it says to the crowd, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the difference that Holy Spirit makes. These men were transformed from hiding in a room to preaching to a crowd. What training have they had to preach to crowds? No training. They'd seen Jesus do it, but they hadn't done it. Holy Spirit is the one that empowers us. Exactly the same as that time with us. God wants us to fly. Holy Spirit gives us wings. Just as those disciples, they suddenly had wings to fly, to tell stories, to preach, to speak out in a way that they couldn't imagine. The scary thing about flying is, all the bird does is it steps to the edge, step of faith, and as it steps off, it flies. Now, if you're anything like me, and not too clever on heights, that doesn't sound a good picture. Getting to the edge of a cliff, or even a cliff, and stepping off. I've been taught, my dad was a geologist, never go next to the edge of a cliff, because they crumble. And I'm scared stiff of heights anyway. But that's the truth, isn't it? For a bird to fly, it can't just sit there. It has to take that step and then it flies. It's the same for us. We have to take that step of faith. And God knows we find it difficult. God knows that we need that encouragement. And that's why he's with us. That's why he blesses us. That's why he gives us Holy Spirit. He knows what we're like. Holy Spirit gives us that power to tell our stories, to tell the testimony that we have, and to give God the credit. This has happened because God has actually encouraged me or blessed me or wants to bless you. It's not getting stuck in the detail about the story. It's actually saying, this is the story because God turned up and made a difference. It's the way we tell the story, isn't it, that makes all the difference. Do you remember this guy? It's a cracker. It's the way you tell them. So I was just trying to find this slide. This is one of Frank Carson's. A fellow walks into a pet shop and he says, "Can I buy a wasp?" And the shopkeeper replies, "We don't sell wasps." And the man says, "But there's one in the window." That's as good as it gets. "Yes, thank you." It is the way you tell them, though, isn't it? It's the way you tell the story that makes a difference. I'm going to tell this story twice. See if you can tell the difference. The story is of me going with my mum to buy a bed. Now that sounds wrong, but actually she needed a new bed. Why did she need a new bed? Because she'd bought a bed a couple of months after my dad died, a single bed. She wanted a bed. And she'd gone out and bought this bed, and now 6 months later she's realised, after sleeping on this blessed thing for 6 months, it ain't very comfortable. So she decides that she should go and buy a bed. And I said, we need to go to one of them big bed shops. Okay? Now, if you've not been recently, it's an interesting thing to do because all the beds are graded. So the lady we were discussing with, and it's 1 to 5, you see. And so the lady says, "I think you need a 3 or a 4. Because mum had tried a 5. So my mum's going round trying this bed and taking her shoes off and trying that bed. And the lady's saying, "Oh, this is a number 3 that's a little bit hard, but actually this is a number 4 and this one's a 4, but it's soft." So it's all very confusing. Anyway, so we did all this, and the lady says, "You need to try all these beds." So my mum's trying all these different beds. And eventually the lady says, "You need to be careful and take your time, because not only is it a lot of money, but you want it for a long time." And then she says, "Which is more than I think I've got." And I'm saying, "Oh, what do you mean?" She says, "Well, I'm going for a heart operation on Monday. I'm not sure how much time I've got." So I said to her, "Is it okay if I prayed for you?" And she said, "Yes." Same story. So, I went with my mum to buy a bed. Huge number of beds. The lady's encouraging my mum to try all of these beds. She says to my mum, "Take your time, because this is going to last for a long time. More than I think I am." God prompted me and said, "What does she mean by that?" So I said, "What do you mean that you haven't got a long time?" She said, "Well, I'm going in for a heart operation on Monday, and I'm not sure how I'm going to get on. They've told me I'm not sure how I'm going to get on." And God said to me, "Pray for her." So in the middle of Benson's beds, other shops are available. I said, "Can I pray for you?" And she said, "Yeah, that would be really kind of you." So I started praying and I said to her, "Do you know God loves you?" At this point she starts crying. And I said, "God wants to touch you and to bless you and to encourage you." So she cried some more. And I just prayed and prayed for her. Not long, didn't take forever. Just prayed for her very simply. And she said, "Thank you for that. I really feel encouraged by that." And God moved in that lady. God moved in my mum, because she's sitting there thinking, "What's Dave doing?" But it moved my mum to the point of actually her thinking about it a lot. We had a chat on the way home about what had happened, and she told me afterwards, all that Monday she was thinking and praying for that lady as she was having her operation. Last week she rang partly to see what time she would get the bed delivered, but she also rang to say, how did this lady get on? The lady's come through that operation and is doing really, really well. Same story, but this time we bring God into it. We mustn't get bogged down in the detail. We mustn't get bogged down with all the facts. We need to just bring the story, because God has made the difference. Because if we stop and think, I'll look an idiot if I start praying for somebody in the middle of Benson's beds, or other shops are available. We have to overcome that, because it's an opportunity that God wants to take. And the opportunity made a difference. It made a difference to that woman, made a difference to my mom. It makes a difference. Let's look at one story that happened to Jesus and the difference that made. This is the story of the Samaritan woman. Let's think about this story. This is a lady whose reputation is so bad that she decides to come and collect her water at the wrong time in the day. She always comes at the height of the heat of the day. Why? Because she knows nobody in their right mind will be there. She avoiding everybody else. She doesn't want to meet any of the villagers because of that situation. When she gets there, she meets Jesus, and Jesus says to this woman, who is a Samaritan, can I have some water? Well, this woman's absolutely bowled over, because let's be realistic about it, and everybody knows, and she knew, Jews don't have anything to do with us Samaritans. They think we're unclean. They don't want to talk to us. In fact, if they can walk round us and miss us, they will do. So why on the earth is this man talking to me? So Jesus starts talking with her and talking about living water and challenging her about her life. And eventually it gets round to this woman suddenly beginning to put the pieces of this jigsaw together and saying, are you the Messiah? And Jesus says, yes, I am that one. And then he says to her, go and get your husband. And she says, I haven't got one. And Jesus says, and this is the words he says to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. Suddenly, Jesus is whapping her with information there's no way that he can know anything about. So this is the reaction of her. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything that I did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and they made their way towards Jesus. What a difference meeting Jesus, this Samaritan woman had. This woman who comes in the heat of the day because she doesn't want to meet anybody from the village, now goes back to the village and engages the village, the people she doesn't want to talk to, the people she doesn't want to have anything to do with. And because she's telling God's story, she's met this man she thinks is the Messiah, there's something in our heart that the villagers respond to and go, well, perhaps there's something we need to get a hold of here. Perhaps there's something we need to listen to. And so this person who the villagers have absolutely no respect for actually listen and respond and go and find Jesus. What an amazing turnaround that story has made. The story, God's story, challenges and changes. It makes a huge difference. I've asked a couple of people to come and share a couple of stories. So Dave and Kevin, if that's okay, if you can come and do that. Scott, if we can have this on. Dave, do you want to give yours first? Thanks.
Morning. This is quite incredible, really, because Dave last week approached me and said, would you like to share God's story? And I said, yeah, okay. Not knowing what context it would be in, whether it be during worship or whatever. I hadn't got a clue what he was preaching on. And I went home and I prayed about it. And God spoke to me about giving testimony. And so I'm going to give a testimony about what God said to me about giving testimony. He drew me to Joshua, beginning of Joshua chapter 4, where the Israelites crossed the River Jordan and they reached the promised land, and God commands them to build a stone memorial as a testimony to what God had done for them, that he'd been faithful and that he'd led them into the promised land as he promised. And I had this encounter with the Holy Spirit, and he encouraged me, and I'll encourage you to do the same, to build stone memorials in your own mind. I've been encouraged to build those memorials at certain stages of my life, so I can look back and see what God has done for me in my life. How faithful he's been. The grace that he's lavished upon me. And I'd encourage you to do the same. And Dave has already said it. It was impressed on me that sharing stories, and I've never been one to share stories or testimonies, I've sort of left that to other people. But that's wrong, that's a bad attitude. But God showed me that increases faith. It increases our expectancy of God. And if we combine that and co-work with God and work according to his plans and his strategies, then we can win supernatural victories. And that's what I want to do, win supernatural victories.
Thank you, Dave. That's brilliant.
Morning, church. How are ya? Okay. I'm sure there's a few of you that naturally do this anyway, but I'm going to share two stories with you. A few weeks ago, Dave and I were in the town, and we were after some parts or something. And Dave said, oh, I just need to pop into the dentist. We won't be long. No problem at all. So gets into this waiting room. It was very small. Dave's talking to the receptionist, and I noticed this lady with a black leather jacket on, and she's sitting there, and she's nearly trembling. And I said, are you okay? She was like, I'm scared stiff of what's going to happen when I go into that room with the dentists. I hate dentists, and I'm sure everybody in this room has probably got some kind of fear of dentists. Then there were two more ladies sat here who just started listening in. So, the worldly Kev starts going, you need to change your thoughts, love. Yeah? Change your thoughts. It will change this. It will change that. Absolutely nothing. It wasn't working at all. And it was as though the Holy Spirit just went, Kev, have some of that. And I was like, right, okay, where's this going? And he went, go and pray for that lady, go and ask if you can pray for her. So in this small little room, I says, sorry, love, you may think this a bit strange, but can I pray for you? And she was like, yeah, all right. I said, well, actually, when I pray, I'm going to ask, can I put my hand on your shoulder too? And she was like, yeah, okay. So I start praying for her, and I just ask for a blessing, ask for God to take the fear away, etc., etc. And I said, how do you feel? She said, well, I still feel a bit nervous, but she said, that's amazing what you've just done there. It is really, really sort of like cool type thing. And then the two ladies opposite said, hey, if that works, get his address, because I want some of that. So I turned around and said, that's simple, love. Rugeley Community Church. All right, so we've got a bit of a post in there as well. But it's amazing the effect that you can have. And it wasn't me. You may sit here and go, oh yeah, Kev, he talks to people, it's fine. It wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit prompting me. The next one, I was going into Hill Spring Surgery to pick up a prescription. And there was this lady, and she was walking like this. And I went, hello, stupidly, how are you? And she must have thought, who's this idiot, yeah? And I said, right, okay, apart from the obvious. And then she started to really well up, and I'm thinking, oh dear, yeah, maybe I've asked the wrong question here. All I wanted to say was, hi, how you doing? And like Dave said with a fella, at that point, I could have just gone, right, gone on my way, got my prescription, and just thought nothing more. So I said, what's wrong? What's making you upset? And she went, I'm on the sick. And she went, but they're making me go to Cannock Job Centre every day for the job seekers thing or whatever. And I said, in your condition? And she went, yeah, seriously. And then this gobsmacked me. She went, I'm actually feeling suicidal. Oh, you know, I'm no counsellor. I'm no sort of like doctor or anything. And then worldly Kev starts trying to comfort, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just went, Kev, have some of that. And he said, pray for that lady. And I said, what's your name? And she said, Wendy. I said, well, Wendy, would you mind if I pray for you? And she went, that would be lovely. So I prayed for her, and I said, right, when I go and get my prescription, I'm going to carry on praying for you. You happy with that? She was like, yep. So as I got my prescription, she was sat down waiting to go into the surgery. I went over to her, and I just put my hand on her shoulder, and I said, Wendy, I said that prayer for you. And she went, Kevin, thank you so much. That has made such a difference. So church, don't look at me as Kev who can talk to everybody. It was the Holy Spirit that did that through me, not me. And afterwards, I gave God the glory, and I said, thank you, Father, for giving me those opportunities to talk to those people. So, church, I encourage you to let the Holy Spirit work for you, and when he does, give God the praise. Okay.
You can just stick up in the chair, mate. I just got to say thanks to these guys for sharing. I mean, what Dave shared there is just, it's what I'm trying to say. It's trying to say that as we know what that testimony is and the things that he's done within us, he changes us and he'll change other people. And we believe lies that that's not going to happen. And they are lies. And those are a couple of circumstances where Kevin's been able to pray, but it's listening, isn't it? And I have to say, if I stop and think about it, how many times have I just totally missed it? Totally missed it. And sometimes it's just a simple little conversation. This is a guy called J. John. He's a famous evangelist. And this is one of his one-liners. He's done lots of one-liners. Two of the most important days are the day you were born. That's pretty significant, isn't it? We all remember it well. No, you don't. And the day you discover why you were born. Just think about that for a moment. because it's actually really deep. I was reading this the other day and I just thought, whoa. Why we were born. We were born to be a follower of Jesus. We are being empowered by Holy Spirit so we can tell stories because we are a follower of Jesus. These are our life stories, our testimony of what God is doing, exactly like Dave said. What he's done and what he's going to do. What's the purpose of that? It's the purpose that God gives us in our lives so that we can change other people's. We can tell those stories to other people. Remember, we love telling stories. Why do we not do it? I want to tell you a story. This is a story of my mum. Now you might guess when this photograph was taken. There's a clue. It was 2 or 3 years ago. I was just trying to find a photograph. My mum and dad have been solid Christians for many, many years. My dad was a preacher for years and years. A lot of people remember him for that. But I have to say, they used to struggle as Christians believing that God wanted to actually do something with them. So they weren't overstruck about somebody praying for them if they needed healing. They found that difficult to get their heads round it. But of latter times, things have changed. Partly because they haven't been so well and there's been opportunities. And I think the crucial one was my mum went into hospital and she was there for 11 weeks and 3 of those weeks she was unconscious. And basically the family prayed for her. God intervened. And she's still here. Now she's oblivious of all that. She was unconscious. But I'll tell you how real it was. My brother and myself had to go to the physician before she went in. And she had, if we'd written it down, 2 sides of A4, why your mum's never going to come through this. Okay? So we're going, okay. And then they're going, do you still want her to be operated on? Because if we don't operate, there's no chance. And we prayed, the family prayed for her. And we were able to share, after she'd come out and after she was getting better, we were able to share that story with her. And the difference that it made. And obviously her perspective changed. And in those latter times, I prayed for my dad for different things. Things happened. Things changed. I prayed for my mum recently, because she was having a problem with her back and her arm. She would have never asked for those things in the past. And she said to me recently, you know, you prayed for me. I'm not having any problem with my back or my arm anymore. Okay, yes, thank you, God. And I thought about this morning, and I said to my mum, would you come and tell that story about when we were at the bed shop? Tell it how you think. It was a bit of a bridge too far. She didn't feel comfortable about doing that. But we had a long story about it. And then she told me a God story. I've never heard this God story. And it must be, trying to remember timing, 20 years ago. And she tells a story of going, she had been invited on a prayer day, a prayer training day. And the more she thought about it, she thought, I don't want to go. And the reason she didn't want to go was because she thought if she went, at some point they'd say to her, I want you to pray out loud. And she just didn't want to do that. She felt frightened. But in the end, she overcame that fear and she went on this prayer day. And at some point, they're sharing, the guy or the lady who's leading it said, right, I want you to look at this passage of scripture. And I want you to find somewhere by yourself, and I just want you to dwell on that reading. Allow God to meditate stuff through that reading. It was a very small church, so my mum decided the only quiet place was to go and sit in the car. So she went and sat in the car, and actually the car park is over, she can see the field. So she's sitting there thinking about this reading. And as she sits there, she didn't hear it in her head, she heard a voice. God spoke to her. And God said to her, you are my child, I love you. And I'm going, what? That's incredible. She says, mind, I have told a couple of people, but I feel I've let God down. And I'm going, what do you mean you've let God down? She said, I haven't told enough people. And I said, God doesn't work like that. That's a lie. And who lies to us? The one that wants to deceive us. The one that doesn't want us to tell stories. The one that doesn't want us to take those opportunities. Oh, I'm not good enough. I can't do that. And she's actually felt some of that guilt. And I'm going, that's rubbish. We need to pray. So we did. What a story, though. Hearing a voice telling you that God loves you. Now, the truth is, I'm not God, but I am a voice. And I'm telling you, God loves you. He loves you. Don't be talked to about the lies. Richard talked to us last week about failing well, didn't he? And some things that might be stopping us. And we need to dump them. Perhaps this week there might be still stuff we need to dump. That's okay. We're going to listen to a song in a moment. Wendy said as we were praying this morning, she had this word, and the word was that we all have a song. And the song is, God's in our heart, he's in us. Actually, and you will have a different song. He speaks to each one of us. And the song that I'm going to want us to listen to, here's my heart, Lord. Not here's your heart, here's my heart, Lord. And what does he promise? He will speak what is true. God speaks to us in truth. And there's never condemnation. He's an encouraging God. And I want us to allow God to bless us and encourage us. And that might be that we want to dump something that we didn't dump last week. Or it might be that we want Holy Spirit to give us a fresh filling. It might be that we want to say, Holy Spirit, actually, I want you to help me to learn to take opportunities. I want you to help me to hear what you're saying to me. Because sometimes I realize a day late or 2 days, I should have done that. It's those opportunities. It might be a freshness of allowing Holy Spirit to do his thing in us. To give us that courage, to give us that openness to actually be all that he wants us to be. To be able to fly. And what does it take us to do? A step. A step of faith. Now I'm going to put this song on, and I will suggest for the first part, I'm going to ask us to stand, but the first part, I want you just to allow those words to bless you. And then I'm going to say, anybody that wants just to have that touch of Holy Spirit, of touch of Jesus, because as we remember this week, he did it all on that cross, then you can come and be prayed for. And I'm going to ask the guys in the pastoral team if they'll come and pray, and Bob and guys will come and pray. And if you feel, well, actually I need to be prayed and then I'm going to pray for others, that's fine. But God's saying, let's go for it. If you actually go to people in my past church and go and ask them about things I've told you about, they would not know that person, because God has worked on me over the past 3 or 4 years to bring me to a place that I am now able to share that. I have prayed for people in Aldi. What a holy place that is. Benson's other shops are available. But actually, it is, isn't it? It's actually saying, God has done something in me. Does it come straightforward? No. Am I still having times, oh, I should have blown, I should have prayed for that person. It doesn't mean I've got it all together. I am beginning to learn to listen. I'm beginning to allow Holy Spirit to do his thing. Okay. So, if we can stand, if you feel God's calling you and you want to be prayed for, then come forward and we will pray for you. But allow these words of this song to wash over you.